And it is Jared of the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. GM, I was stunned by a college football game this weekend. And no, it was not LSU running over Vandy. And no, it was not Florida running over Tennessee. And no, it was not my Cards going in the road and choking it to Florida State. I was stunned by the Auburn Tigers with a true freshman quarterback going into Kyle Field and doing what they did to Texas A&M.
Yeah, I was surprised with that a little bit myself.
I mean, and I'll say this for Bo Nix. We have said before the Oregon game and before this game, we have said, you know, Auburn's got a nice team, but a true freshman quarterback, can he really do that? And he has passed every test with flying colors, so far at least. Still early, but I feel like in the football world, being a freshman and going on the road to A&M and giving it to them is a nice little notch on the belt.
Oh, A&M's a tough place to win.
I mean, that's kind of like, hey, man, take this kid a little seriously now. He's LSU scored about 857 points on Saturday at Vanderbilt. And I think they probably could have scored another 800 if they really, really wanted to. Joe Burrow looks like a Heisman candidate through a month in the season. Can you tell me one meaningful thing Alabama has done this year?
Well, Alabama, I mean, the quarterback just threw for 5 or 6 touchdowns.
I know, but did you watch that game?
Well, yeah, I watched part of it.
Did you really?
Here's part of the thing that Alabama is running into is that they do it every week. I mean, we're thrilled with the LSU kid coming in and throwing for 6. Tua does that every week, so it's no big thrill. You know, it's not the now if he goes out and throws for 9, now it'll be noteworthy.
I guess the point I'm trying to make is the take that I have right now is I've seen LSU go on the road to Texas and win a game, and they have played real competition and they have played well. And even against Vandy, who is no good, we all know that, they put up 60 points. Auburn has beaten Oregon in a neutral site game and just went on the road to A&M and beat A&M with a true freshman quarterback, who I'm done doubting for right now. I'm not convinced, and I'm not taking anything away from Alabama. It's the fact that Alabama has not played anybody yet in any game of note other than their opener against Duke. And I don't count Duke as anybody real. I'm not saying Alabama is worse than LSU or that Alabama is worse than Auburn. I'm just trying to make the point that I'm not convinced right now that Alabama is for sure better than LSU or Auburn, especially LSU. I mean, I think LSU, this might be the best LSU team I've seen in a long time.
Well, they have. I heard, who was it? Dean Mace, the Vandy coach? Say that Burroughs is the best quarterback he has ever seen. That's pretty stout coming from a guy because he's seen some quarterbacks.
That's after the game, right? Not before he plays them. Just say, oh,
no, this is after he played them. You know, so he's got that. So I mean, LSU. I think LSU is a legitimate contender. I'm not as high on Auburn. But I think LSU, there is absolutely no doubt they're a legitimate contender. And you know, it only adds to the, you know, between Georgia and Alabama and LSU. And I'm going to tell you what now, there's some pretty good football
there.
I mean, that may
this
be,
year we're going to have some ball.
That may be the truth is, what happens if you're sitting there when it's all said and done and they're all 11-1? What happens then?
I don't think that that's possible.
I don't know if it is or not. If LSU beats Alabama and then lose to Georgia.
No, they don't play Georgia.
In the SEC championship.
Okay.
And Georgia loses to somebody along the way, that gives them all to 11-1.
What if Georgia loses to Auburn? And Auburn then loses to Alabama. So, you've got LSU beats Alabama. So, Bama has one loss. LSU loses to Georgia in the SEC championship game.
Right.
So, now LSU has one loss. Georgia loses to Auburn at Auburn. So, now Georgia has one loss, and Auburn loses to Alabama. So now all four teams are 11-1.
Yeah. I mean, that's, if that were to happen, I mean, that might be the best four teams in the country right there.
I mean, could you imagine, like, the who gets in, who gets left out? Georgia would get in solely because they won the SEC championship, and that's the one thing that separates you from everybody else. So this is what the point I guess I'm trying to make here is. I remember being at SEC Media Days and saying, it's Alabama, Georgia, and then everybody else. And you know what? Like, LSU will have a nice team, and A&M will have a nice team, but a tough schedule. And Clemson, Clemson will beat them. And Auburn will have a nice team, but a tough schedule. I mean, I'm telling you right now. And let's not count Florida out of there with their improved quarterback play with Kyle Trask at quarterback. Now, I don't think Florida is anywhere near these four teams. But I'm just saying for Alabama's sake, the only thing I have to go off of that would make me think Alabama's better than LSU and Auburn is what Alabama has done in the past. Because Alabama has not proved anything to me yet this year. But I do think what they've done in the past and who their head coach is gives them a lot of credibility going forward to where we think, hey, Alabama's going to be there in the end. I mean, they're going to be good. And LSU goes to Alabama on November 9th, and you got to feel like it's going to be hard for LSU to win at Bama. But I'm not convinced that the 2019 Alabama Crimson Tide is better than LSU and Auburn. I'm not convinced they're better.
Well, again, for me, it's LSU. I would agree with you. I mean, Auburn, I can't put Auburn up there. But by the way, I can put LSU.
By the way, Joe Rexro just told me that because LSU plays Auburn, we forgot about that. This scenario is not possible. Everyone with one loss.
They beat Auburn. I mean, I wouldn't put Auburn in there anyway.
You cannot, after what they did Saturday, you're going to keep doubting Auburn?
That's just me.
We've been doubting Auburn all year so far.
I'm not saying
we picked Oregon and we picked A&M.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's just me.
I mean, to me, and I agree with you. I mean, and here's the other thing about Auburn though. Both Georgia and Alabama play at Auburn, and you can't tell me that that's not a big deal either.
Oh, playing at Auburn?
Oh yeah,
oh, that's a big deal.
I mean, 2 years ago, those two teams went to Auburn, lost. And those two teams ended up playing for the national championship, and Alabama won in overtime. You know, so I think playing at Auburn, that's going to throw another whole wrench.
Tough to play at Auburn now.
But as far as LSU is concerned, are you convinced Alabama is better than LSU right now?
No, I think they're comparable. I think Alabama, Georgia, and LSU are all in a class by themselves. And I'm not sure that there's anybody else in the country that fits. Maybe Oklahoma.
Not Clemson?
I mean, maybe, Clemson, you know what's funny? Have you seen the latest Heisman Trophy votes? Lawrence does not have a single vote. Not a single vote.
I know, but I'm talking about, when push comes to shove, you don't think the Clemson Tigers are going to be there?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised at all. But, I mean, I was shocked when I saw that.
So this
Hurts is leading it. All these Alabama guys, the Tua is all over the place. The LSU kids all over the place.
I think what's going to hurt Jalen Hurts is I don't know if he's going to have the TV games that the SEC guys are going to have. And what I mean by that, yeah, Oklahoma will be on TV and whatever, but not like when Alabama plays LSU, if it stays the way it is right now, where LSU is 4 and Joe Burrow's lighting up the scoreboard and Alabama's 2 and Tua is playing in that game, I mean, that could be a shootout between two great quarterbacks, and the winner of that shootout, pump him up 50% for the Heisman right then and there because of how big that game will be.
That could be as good a game as we've seen in years and years.
I mean, I'm kind of hoping neither team loses. Game. Yeah, I'm hoping that neither team loses so that game is going to be a huge showdown game. And let's not forget about LSU. LSU last year spanked Georgia squarely on the rear end.
Yes.
So we know they're capable of it, and we know they can play on the road because they went to Texas and did it. So I'm just saying, I'm not saying I'm counting Alabama out. I'm not saying Alabama's not going to win the championship. I'm not saying Alabama's not the best team. But I'm ready to put LSU. And I'm thinking we should put Auburn into the discussion too. Because they just keep proving us wrong. And I am not convinced, as of right now, Alabama is better than LSU. Auburn, I think I'm leaning on Alabama's history and credibility, but not with LSU. And I'm with you. I think Alabama, we talked about it for a while, saying Alabama and Georgia, and LSU is kind of outside of that. And I think LSU has put themselves inside of that grouping right now.
Yeah, primarily because of Burrow.
Burrow throws for 800 yards a game.
Oh, jeez.
Next quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. All right, let's take your calls. Do you believe that Alabama is not as good, or that LSU and Auburn are on par with Alabama? 615-737-1025, or is LSU the LSU Tigers who cried wolf? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to your calls on this. Plus, what really has Alabama done this year? We'll discuss. Jared and the GM, we're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
Since you've been in the SEC, how much kind of a philosophy change have you seen offensively, where it used to be run first, now two of the top three passing teams in the country are from the SEC West?
Well, I don't think it's just this conference. I think it's football in general. I think, you know, used to be a lot more closed formations. Now everything is spread and open. I think space play is much more important than it used to be years ago. People throw, you know, a two-yard pass on an RPO and it turns into a 70-yard play. So the game has just opened up to where, you know, horizontally and vertically, you got to cover the entire field. In the old days, I don't think it was really that way. And I think that's, you know, created a lot more explosive plays on offense. And people who have good skill players and a good quarterback have a chance to really, you know, take advantage of some of those things. And it makes it much more difficult on defense. So
Nick Saban talking about spread offenses and offense in the SEC, which with Tua and Burrow and some of these quarterbacks, it is just picking up like wildfire. So we're talking about the ascendance of LSU and Auburn and whether or not they're on par with Alabama. And what has Alabama done to wow us this year? But I was going over this during the break. I think there are 7 premium games in the SEC this year where, like, top contenders play top contenders. For example, LSU at Alabama, Alabama at Auburn, Auburn at Florida, Auburn at LSU, UGA at Auburn, Florida, Georgia, and Florida LSU. Of the premium games, Auburn plays 4 of them. LSU and Florida play 3 of them, and Alabama and Georgia play 2 of them. Which probably would give you think that Alabama would have an inside track over everybody else, because they play 2 of them and don't necessarily have to win the West. By the way, I have Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Texas A&M as teams that could play spoiler to all of this. And then I have everybody else, just forget about them. Like Arkansas, South Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas, Vandy, Mississippi, Missouri, forget about
this
it.
This is where we were, though. I mean, early in the year, we were saying that it looks like the SEC is going to be really, really heavy at the top and really, really heavy at the bottom and nobody in between. And that's kind of the way it's looking.
Although I still think Mississippi State or A&M could win like a home game against one of these teams. And I put Kentucky on there, but they already lost to Florida, and I cannot see them beating Georgia. So the reality is Kentucky probably belongs with USC and Tennessee and Arkansas and all those guys. And Florida probably actually belongs with Mississippi State and A&M more so than they do with the big boys. But they're in the top 10 and undefeated right now, and they just spanked Tennessee, so they get to stay with the big boy category. We were talking about Florida has to host Auburn and then turn around and go to LSU the next week.
Tough.
Oof, with the backup quarterback.
Backup quarterback.
To your phones on the SEC we go. Corey is going to kick us off on Alabama. Thank you for calling. What's up, Corey?
Hey, guys. As far as the debate between Alabama, LSU, and Auburn, fortunately, we're going to see these teams all play. But at this point, all things being equal, I have a lot more respect for for LSU and Auburn, because they're playing neutral site or road games, And like you said, Alabama hasn't played anybody. And Nick Saban can complain all he wants about, well, nobody will play us. Well, for years you've scheduled a de facto home game because your neutral site is Atlanta or Dallas or someplace close, and then you don't reciprocate with the teams that you're doing that with. Yeah, nobody wants to do that. You know, so they've kind of made their own bed, so I don't want to hear them complain about it too much. So at this point, yeah, I've got a lot more respect for LSU and what Auburn, what they've done at this point.
So as far as the – thank you for your call. I can't disagree with it on the LSU front. I mean, you schedule a home-and-home with Texas, and you know that you're going to be playing some big-boy football. Right. As far as Alabama's concerned on these neutral site games, you could schedule a neutral site game against Oregon one year, and Oregon could suck. You know, when they scheduled Louisville last year to play them in Orlando – you know, this was Louisville coming off of a Sugar Bowl dismantling of Florida with Teddy Bridgewater, and they looked like they were coming up. And then they got Lamar Jackson, so you think, oh, this is going to be a great game. And then Lamar goes to the NFL, and Louisville's terrible. And I can't blame Alabama for that.
Yeah.
Now, playing Duke, though, like, get a better opponent.
Those things, those schedules are made so many, generally speaking, so many years in advance that – it doesn't. I don't care who you make it against. You know, you're going to. Chances of them being good the whole time or bad the whole time, probably not very high.
But I would say, though, for Alabama's sake, like I think they are getting into the business of this. But, like, instead of playing Duke in Atlanta, you know, give me a home and home with Notre Dame like George is doing. Why, could you imagine the TV ratings for Alabama and Notre Dame?
Yeah. It'd be pretty good. I'm not sure how good the game would be, but the ratings would be good.
Do you think it would be any different than the Georgia game on Saturday against Notre Dame?
Yes, because Alabama can throw the ball. Georgia really, they don't have receivers. You know, now they run the ball till the cows come home.
Who do you think's better if LSU and Georgia played on a neutral site? Who would you take?
Well. LSU has the better overall team, but what Georgia does running the ball, if they could control it the way that they would like, then, you know, I'd probably still go with Georgia, but it's getting tighter and tighter.
That would be a great game to watch.
Oh, it'd be a great game. LSU can do so many things and do them all, you know, pretty good.
Let's go to Chad, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Chad?
Hey, guys. Listen, I'm not a college football fan. I'm not a fan of either of these teams, but I do have a question for you because I have a lot of friends that have been on my timeline blowing it up with the LSU should be number one talk. So my question to you is, I did watch the Texas-LSU game, and I don't remember the receiver or the quarterback, but the play, the very first play where they got in the red zone for Texas on offense, he throws it to the guy that's uncontested, wide open. The guy drops it. So it's, you know, and then they don't convert on fourth down. If that pass gets caught and Texas wins that game, do y'all two still feel the same way about LSU? I'll hang up and listen.
It's a humongous hypothetical question. It's very difficult to answer. I mean, probably not if LSU loses the game. But the truth is LSU not only won the game at Texas, but they put an exclamation point down at the end of that football game that I think opened my eyeballs to Burrow and LSU more than anything I'd probably seen from them previously.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. If I had to put Texas, I would put Texas in there with Auburn, Florida, and not with the big boys.
No, but still, for LSU to do what they did was impressive on the road.
Oh, yeah.
And the way Burrow put that touch, yeah. I mean.
Because that's, you know, Texas is a good team. I'm just not sure. I mean, the problem is always the same. And it's funny because we've been through this whole discussion. Now I know it's SEC, but I mean, we mentioned Clemson one time and they, you know.
I dare you tell Clemson, Trev, what you told me about that. Trev will get on your butt.
For the what?
For you saying, you know, I don't know about Clemson. I haven't heard much about Lawrence and the Heisman.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, Trev will rip your butt on that one.
Oh, no. I'll tell him about it. I mean, I'll ask him about it. He's got to be shocked.
Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, go ahead.
Yeah, you said Alabama hasn't played. They haven't done anything.
Correct.
Isn't the key to playing games is to win the games?
Correct.
So they won every game they played, just like everybody else up there in the top 10.
Yeah, but they're not going to Texas and playing Texas and beating Texas or beating Notre Dame or beating Oregon and Texas A&M. They're not doing that yet.
What makes Oregon and Texas better than Alabama?
That's not what makes them better than Alabama. It's what makes them better than East Lafayette State Tech, who Alabama's been playing.
They haven't been playing East Lafayette Tech.
Who did they play last week? They played New Mexico State. New Mexico, the best game they played this year is Duke.
They've won all their games. Isn't it what you're supposed to do?
Thank you for your call, Glenn. They now look, Alabama, we all know this. Alabama's going to get their chance because everyone's going to get a shot at Alabama. Auburn's going to get a shot at them. LSU's going to get a shot at them. Georgia's probably going to get a shot at them in the dome. So they'll get their chance. But as of right now, Alabama hadn't played. Trevor, coming up next, how does Trevor rank these five SEC contenders? Plus, does he agree with Floyd that Clemson may not belong in the discussion with the three big boys of the SEC?
Do not put words in my mouth. Do not put words in my mouth. I didn't say that at all.
Ian, is that not what he said?
What?
Yeah.
That Clemson maybe didn't belong in the discussion with the big boys from the SEC?
I don't think he said that.
No,
I just think we won about the Heisman and what's his name.
Yeah, I went right to the quarterback. I said he's the one of all the people we're talking about and all these Heisman Trophy candidates and all that, he is not mentioned.
You know what they say in the NFL?
What's that?
The eye in the sky never lies. We might have to take a look at the tape. Because I inferred that Floyd thinks that Clemson may not be up there with those guys.
I didn't even mention Clemson. I talked about the quarterback.
I may have inferred that then. We'll get to that with inferred. Trevor.
That's a good word. Inferred. I got your infer.
Make your picks now for week of the three college football underdog teams you think will win Saturday. This week's weekly winner will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game mobile app and play now. Silly Underdog Picks sponsored by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Trevor's next. Be caller 5 if you want to win a pair of 3-day passes to the Exit 111 Festival in Manchester Friday, October 11th through Sunday, October 13th. Lineup includes Guns N' Roses, Def Leppard, Leonard Skinner, Slayer, in their last ever show in Tennessee, Deftones, Ghost, ZZ Top, and more. So caller 5, 615-737-1025 will win that. Trevor Maddich next, Jared the GM, it's ESPN 1025 The Game. Jared the GM, ESPN 1025 The Game, 4:30. 4:30 on a Tuesday means Floyd Reese.
Time for Trev.
Now, we did not clear up my inference of what Floyd said about Clemson, so I'm sure we'll have to do that here in the near future. But, Trev, my main take today, are you ready for my main takeaway from the weekend, Trevor Maddich?
I am ready, Jared.
Okay, when LSU decided to hire Ed Orgeron, I thought that was a horrible hire for them. I did. I thought they were going to go backwards, and they were never going to be good, basically, is what I was thinking. Not Ed O's going to go find a quarterback, and they're going to be a national title contender in 2 years. Auburn starts a true freshman quarterback, and I think, man, they got that great defense, but they got no shot. Now I'm looking, and I think that LSU is every bit the contender that Alabama is, every bit as good as Alabama is. I'm ready to watch them play, and I'm done counting out Auburn. So we've got 5 teams in the SEC right now that I think are legit contenders. Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Auburn, LSU. Who's a legit contender and who is a pretender?
You know, you've got a really good point. I think that they're all legit contenders, but they all have questions to answer, every one of them. Georgia has to get their chemistry between quarterback Jake Fromm and the young receivers on deep passes down the field improved. You see a lot of passes go off the fingertips of receivers running deep routes. A lot of good stuff on short and intermediate routes, but until they get those deep routes squared away, it'll allow defenses to cheat up to the line of scrimmage against the rushing attack. Alabama has a running game that right now is not up to Alabama standards. As a matter of fact, they're one of the worst teams in the nation at red zone rushing, yards per carry by the running backs. Alabama. And that was a point of emphasis this offseason after they got down into the red zone repeatedly against Clemson in the national championship game. but couldn't punch it in because they couldn't run the ball down there. Well, that was against Clemson, but they're not doing it very well this year against much lesser competition than Clemson's defense was. So there's that. LSU's defense better figure out how to tighten up, for goodness sake. Auburn, the young quarterback, has got to show that he can grow. But these are all questions that really everybody in the country has. There's not a team right now except for one, in my opinion, that doesn't have questions to answer. And so when you list off those SEC teams, they all are in position because of their strengths to be able to contend.
Can I say to you with a straight face, LSU and Auburn might be as good as Alabama, and why, if I can't, why can't I?
You can say that with a straight face. Well, nearly as good. Let's put it that way. I think that Auburn is, well, Alabama still has the edge. But I think they're there to contend. It's not like Alabama's superior and everybody else is chasing them. Alabama's a little better overall. But Auburn's defense is one of the best in the country. And we've talked about this before. I think Auburn's defensive line is this year's version of last year's Clemson defensive line, where they had three guys that could have gone to the draft, but they chose to come back to take care of business in college last year, and they won the national championship, and then they got drafted. Well, Auburn, same way with their defensive line, and they have depth beyond just those guys. And we talk about Marlon Davidson and Derek Brown and Big Cat Bryant and, you know, Nick Coe, but there's guys behind them that are about as talented, so the depth rotation is really good. And so that alone can keep them in the game with a team like in Alabama, because they can get after the quarterback, number one. And number two, they've got a deep, experienced secondary, Auburn does. And you have to have that to face down Alabama's wide receivers. I think, though, if you look at where Alabama has a clear advantage over all of those teams, even LSU, is in the passing game. I mean, let me ask you this. Would you rather have, right now, Tua Tagovailoa and his receivers, or Joe Burrow and his receivers?
I think I'd rather have Joe Burrow with Tua's receivers.
Really? Oh, Joe, okay, yeah, but you don't get that. You don't like Tua?
I do. I love Tua, but I love Burrow. I do. I love him. And maybe part of it's because Jordan Rodgers ripped on him, and then he's had it out for Jordan ever since then and lit up, you know, Vandy in front of him, and I just loved every second of that. I don't know. But I love Joe Burrow. I do. I loved him. Trevor, you can back me up on this. I have loved him from that Miami game to start last year. I have always loved Joe Burrow, and I just feel like Joe Burrow just keeps playing. I love Joe Burrow. And so the two reasons I believe in LSU and Auburn this year, one is I love Burrow, and two, the Auburn-Alabama game is at Auburn, and that's why I think that that may be a really tough hurdle for Nick Saban in Alabama.
Right. Well, I think Alabama will be one-dimensional in that game. They will be pass-only. Now, it's a pretty good trick if you've only got one trick, Alabama's passing game. But again, you've got a pass rush combined with a secondary that can cover down. And that's a recipe to put some sand into the gears of that Bama passing game. They don't have to stop them. They just have to slow them down, get them off the field once in a while, maybe force an interception or so. But you're right to love Burrow. I love Joe Burrow as a quarterback. As a matter of fact, you talk about that Miami game last year. I did a breakdown on that and showed how Burrow managed that game by getting them out of bad plays into good plays. He didn't always have the flashy stats or the flashy throws, but he maximized the capabilities of the guys around him by making sure that they were doing good things that worked. Compare that to Michigan this year on offense. I don't think those players are in position to maximize their capabilities based on what they're being asked to do. Burrow makes sure that LSU is. So I think that's a really positive thing. So you're right to like him.
Trev, in my mind, I can put Alabama, Georgia, and LSU together at the top. Who else in the country, not SEC, not Clemson, is there anybody else that fits in with those three?
Well, yeah, but they all have questions. See, this again is where I think we have to remember that we don't necessarily have a juggernaut, including, by the way, Clemson. Clemson is not fully complete right now because their passing game is leaving a lot on the table. I think Trevor Lawrence is having a bit of a sophomore slump, and I think that he could be better. I expect him to be better. But I don't think there's a fully complete team except for one, the way they're playing right now, and that's Ohio State. I think Ohio State is the best team in the country today. I take Ohio State over anybody on a neutral field today, the way they're playing. Uh-huh. Now, every team is going to be a little different a month from now because you've got young players on all of them, and some of those guys are going to develop and some aren't. But right now it's Ohio State. Oklahoma defensively is showing a lot more pop than they've shown for anybody's memory, where they're creating turnovers, they're creating havoc, they're still giving up some plays, but the defense, remember, doesn't have to be a rock. All it has to do is improve from heinous to decent, and to complement that offense, and Oklahoma becomes that much more dangerous as a complete team. Wisconsin right now has passed every test. Now, you can make the case that they haven't really been fully tested yet because of the nature of their schedule, including playing Michigan, for goodness sake. But Wisconsin fully demoralized Michigan's defense. Now, that was surprising to me because Michigan's offense still has all kinds of problems. But their defense is a championship-level defense that, by the time the second half rolled around, was deflated. You could see their body language, that they were demoralized by what was happening to them, and knowing that their offense wasn't going to be able to respond to that, kind of hurt my heart a little bit to see the way those guys were slouching and kind of, you know, just their body language and the way they were performing. But Wisconsin, so far, everybody they played, they have blistered, and they may be just as real as the rest of them. So, yeah, there's a bunch of teams out there that I think have the capability to compete at that highest level.
You mentioned it a few minutes ago, but Jared and I were talking earlier, and I said, you know, I looked at the Heisman Trophy list of candidates and the votes and the whatever, and I said, you know the name that is missing? Trevor Lawrence. What's going on there?
And I said to Floyd, I go, you tell Trevor that you got a problem with that. I'm sure he'll spank you upside the rear on that one, and you went to it without even him asking you.
Well, I've got to be careful spanking Floyd now, Jared, because his UCLA Bruins just went up to Washington State, put 60-plus points on those Cougars.
That's my coach. That's my coach, Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly, the greatest coach in America for a week. Actually, more. I like Chip Kelly, but I can't mess with Floyd, though, because he's now newly empowered. Floyd, why do you think Trevor Lawrence should be there?
Oh, I'm not saying he should. To be honest with you, I really haven't seen Clemson play, but you haven't heard anything about Clemson.
Yeah, well, you know, partly because they haven't played anybody.
Yeah, they haven't played anybody, and Trevor, it's like we were talking earlier about, you know, Jared says, well, you don't hear a lot about Alabama. What did they do? I said, quarterback just went out and put up 5 or 6 touchdowns last week.
That's against nobody's state.
Yeah. And I said, you're not seeing those kind of headlines coming out of Clemson.
Yeah. Well, they have played somebody, by the way, Texas A&M, and that was a quality win for Clemson, so to be fair to them.
Right.
Trevor Lawrence right now is, you know, it's unfair, in my opinion, to put on him the pressure that he is a completely polished product at this point in his career. He now is about to cross the threshold of having one full season as a starter under his belt because he didn't start last year until week 5. And so he's getting close to now, you know, moving into his sophomore year, I guess you could say. But he has the potential to be everything that everybody says that he is. But defensive coordinators have been messing with him. They've been able to identify what he likes to do and try to take some of that away and what bothers him and try to force him into some of those throws. And he's thrown some interceptions into coverage that he just flat didn't recognize. Now, that's not just him. Other people do that. But now it's incumbent on Trevor Lawrence, the Clemson quarterback, to adjust to what the adjustments are. And that's one thing you see with some quarterbacks. They storm onto the scene and nobody knows what to do about them until they get some tape. Then they make that quarterback adjust, and he can't do it. Others can do it. And right now, Lawrence is in the process of having to make some of those adjustments, and I think he's going to be fine. But when you look at his total quarterback rating, when you adjust it for the quality of the defenses that he's faced, he's 11th in the nation. And that's, you know, good. That's really good. But I think there are other people right now that have stood out as more outstanding in the first month of the season so far, and that's one of the reasons he's not there. He's got plenty of time to pile up stats, but he'd better pile up stats because he no longer has that marquee matchup that will be compelling for people. I mean, you look at the schedule.
They still play Louisville.
Well, they play Louisville, but other than that, okay, so they've got, okay, at North Carolina. North Carolina's, you know, kind of a problem, but they, no one.
No, they don't play anybody.
Yeah, Florida State, Louisville, see, but Wofford, they got Wofford in there. And at South Carolina at the end of the season might be their best, you know, their best remaining game. So, but until they get to the conference championship game. But the reason that's important is that, number one, not a lot of opportunity for marquee Heisman moments on the national stage. And number two, it's very likely that Clemson will just blow everybody out, and he won't play a lot in the second half. That hurt Tua last year, right, where he just had so many just huge performances in the first half, he wasn't able to pad his stats. So Trevor Lawrence will have to overcome all those things in order to be able to get the Heisman this year.
Trevor Maddox, ESPN College Football Analyst. We talked about the good to the bad. Tennessee, next with Trevor, Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5, The Game. Jared and the GM, Trevor Maddich, our guest. It is ugly in Knoxville. Jared Garantano bench. Florida spanks him. Trevor, help me out. What is the line on Tennessee? Floyd and I talked about this. At what point do we have to look at the Vols and not feel like they're getting better or, hey, they've got to go through it in order to get to it with Jeremy Pruitt and say, man, this team is in trouble and this coach might be in trouble?
Yeah, and they want to make sure that, you know, they haven't. Well, yeah, right now I think Tennessee is on the right trajectory, but I think it's going to take a while. It'll take a couple of years before you'll really be able to see it because they've got to fill in parts of the roster that aren't there. They've got good young talent, but they've also got other areas where they either lack depth or they lack talent. And one of those places where they certainly lack effectiveness is at quarterback. I mean, Garantano gets benched. They put in the freshman, and it was an improvement. Garantano's quarterback rating was 9.9. The freshman, I don't know how you say his name, Maurer?
I think it's Brandon Maurer.
Maurer. Okay, I want to make sure I get it right. I don't want to be disrespectful to his name. But whereas Garantano had 9.9 QBR, his replacement was 12.2. So, yay, that's out of 100. Where 100 is perfect, 50 is average. Anything below that is losing football. And so their best of the day was 12.2. Now, that's against a Florida defense that had some injuries but still overmatches what Tennessee can put on the field from the standpoint of their offensive personnel, and certainly in terms of experience. So, you know, these coaches know how to coach. Jim Chaney coming in from Georgia, he didn't just know how to coach and be an offensive coordinator with Georgia, and all of a sudden he forgot how to run an offense when he got to Tennessee. That's not the way it is. It's just that right now, the way things are set up, these guys don't know how to win, or they're not capable of winning, depending on what the caliber of the competition is. And so when you play Georgia State, they were capable of winning that game. They were capable of winning the BYU game. But they didn't know how, especially BYU, when the plays were being made at the end by the Cougars and not the Volunteers. You got to know how to win, and that takes time to learn when you're a young team with a new staff that hasn't had a winning tradition for many, many years. And then they were just overmatched against Florida.
Tell me about, Trev, tell me about Michigan and Harbaugh. What's going on there?
Ooh. Wow. Are you saying, Floyd, that Michigan wishes they had Chip Kelly as their coach? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that.
But, yes, you are.
Yeah. It's got to be getting a little sticky.
Yeah, you know, I think the most charitable grade you could give Michigan's offense is incomplete. Because until they get their foot out of their ear and stop turning the ball over and figuring out who to block, it's really hard to judge how good they are. They lost 5 fumbles in the first 2 games, and then they went up to Wisconsin and just got shut down cold. And amidst losing all those turnovers, it looks like the players aren't in position to be able to succeed. I look at this offense, it's supposed to be a newfangled offense with former Alabama assistant coach Josh Gattis being the offensive coordinator now, and bring him into the 21st century like LSU did, right? LSU fans were promised that they'd have a modernized offense and they could see it on the field. Michigan's fans were promised they'd have a modernized offense, and what they see is clunky, clunky, clunky. It looks a lot like Harbaugh's offense at Stanford, except out of the shotgun, which can't work. It can't work. And I did a breakdown on their offense last week and some of the things that were wrong with it. And I showed a 4th-and-2 against Army where they had 4 blockers on 4 defenders at the point of attack. 3 of those 4 defenders ended up 4 yards deep in the backfield making a tackle for loss on 4th-and-2.
Wow.
3 unblocked defenders at the point of attack, each accounted for by a blocker, all got 4 yards deep into the backfield to make the tackle, right? And it was because guys just didn't know what to do or how to do it. And so this offense right now, people say the players have to execute, but as I watch what they're being asked to execute, I agree that they've got to execute, but even if they do execute, they still aren't in position to fully maximize their athletic capabilities. And this far into the process, guys not knowing what to do, I think the coaches are not developing and they're not serving these players. And I think Tennessee fans, going back to Derek Dooley and then Butch Jones, who see some good athletes being recruited but not developed, guys that come in with a lot of stars, don't do much at Tennessee, and end up in the NFL, can you say Alvin Kamara? And I think they will look up at Michigan's offense right now and see a lot of familiarity with what they're seeing now. So I think right now, legitimately, the worm has turned, not just where Michigan fans are concerned about the direction of the program and when it will turn around, but I think now, based on the start of this season and the changes that were made on the offensive side of the ball that have made things worse, not better, I think that fans are legitimately starting to ask the real question, is this coaching staff going to be able to turn this thing around at all?
Trevor Maddox, ESPN college football analyst. Last one for you, Trev. Rank the 5 SEC teams for me right now. Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Georgia, Florida.
All right. I would say right now, Alabama by a hair over Georgia. I would say after that, I would pick Auburn.
Ooh.
After that, I would pick LSU. And who's the other one?
Florida.
Yeah, no, I'd put Florida after them because I think Florida has the least potential for explosive offensive play.
But Auburn over LSU?
Yes, Auburn over LSU because Auburn's defense. You know, great pitching stops great hitting, and I think that those two on a neutral field, now obviously it's not going to be a neutral field when they play. Let me just double-check where they're going to be playing.
That game will be at LSU.
At LSU, yep, that's at LSU. But I think that Auburn's defense is better. That's why I picked Auburn over A&M, even though A&M was favored and A&M was playing at home. I picked Auburn to win that game because of defense, and I think that defense would be the difference in that game, and that's why I put Auburn above LSU. Now, LSU's offense right now is worlds above, head and shoulders above what Auburn's offense is. But by the time they play in late October, I believe that as long as they stay healthy, Bo Nix will have improved by leaps and bounds as well. And remember, it's not just who's got the better quarterback. It's who is able to degrade the other guy's quarterback. And I think Auburn has that degradation potential better than LSU this year.
Trevor Maddox, ESPN college football analyst. As always, Trev, appreciate you.
Thanks,
all right,
Trev.
Thanks, guys. And go Bruins, Floyd.
Get excited.
Contract extension for Chip. We'll see you, Trev. Trevor Maddox, ESPN college football analyst. What do you think about Trev going Auburn ahead of LSU?
Yeah, surprised me a little bit.
Think about
not
this.
Shocking, but
think about this. Auburn will play probably the three, maybe three of the first 4 quarterbacks. No, they will probably play this season the 4 quarterbacks off the board first. They will play Herbert at Oregon. They'll play Tua. They'll play Fromm. They'll play Burrow. They will literally probably play the 4 top quarterbacks off the board. That is unless Jalen Hurts works his way to the number 1 pick, which he is on the trajectory for that,
yeah.
Pat. So who knows?
Heisman Trophy winner.
Hey, you might as well. If Jalen wins the Heisman Trophy, Lincoln will get hired in the NFL. I am convinced of it. If you do this with Jalen,
three Heisman Trophy winners
in a row,
and transfers,
all of them.
And that's you know something that
Lincoln
the
will be.
Rest of them don't know.
Lincoln will take over for Jason Garrett whenever he screws up, and will be the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Coming up next, one prominent national analyst is done with Mariota, and he says the Titans are done too. We'll get to that coming up next. Jared of the GM, it's ESPN at 102.5 The Game.